Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Praise be to God for this reading of his word for us this morning. Well, most of us look forward to opening gifts on Christmas, and of course we're reminded in this gift-giving tradition of the gift we have received, the gift of salvation we've received through Jesus Christ, God's gift to us. Anticipation is a gift we've thought about this Advent season, and throughout Advent and Christmas and other times of the year, we anticipate God's future when God's full blessings will be known and experienced in full. Patience is a gift which helps us to wait and persevere. And the gift of hope is something that we're given, and it is also something that we put into practice, something that we do and even cultivate in our lives, throughout our lives. Anticipation, patience, hope, they're all gifts that God gives us as we await the celebration of when, as the Catechism puts it, when the eternal Son of God took to himself from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary a truly human nature. God entered our world and he changed it forever. Revelation is also a gift that God gives us. Revelation simply means to reveal what was once hidden, to make known a secret or a mystery, opening up a present. It's revealed what's inside it. Something about God and his plan of the ages was revealed on that first Christmas morning. Revelation is a gift that we may give to someone or we may withhold from someone else. We may reveal a little bit about ourselves to someone or not. It's our choice. Now, marriage counselors, I bet, will tell you that their greatest struggle is probably getting a husband and wife to start talking to one another once again, to start revealing what their thoughts are and what their feelings are. Once they do start to reveal their thoughts and feelings to one another, often a breakthrough happens in the marriage. But as a pastor, I'm surprised at how often couples get together, but they don't talk about their lives. They don't talk about what's going on. They don't reveal their true feelings and their true hurts or their true joys or their true hopes. They just go on in life without really communicating. But with a little understanding can come empathy, and with a little empathy can come love and compassion. But it takes communication. It takes a revelation of the self to one another, the good, the bad, the ugly. And as with any relationship, once communication ends, once revelation ends, the relationship tends to end. And of course, communication is a two-way street. When we communicate with someone, we reveal ourselves, our thoughts, our plans, our hopes, our desires. We make ourselves known to another person. And deep down, I think we all want to be known by somebody else. But also, paradoxically, deep down, we really don't want everybody to know who we really and truly are. God wants to know, though, and he wants us to know him, too. But first this morning, the revelation of God is often blocked by the clouds of our culture. God wants to be known, though there is so much about God that we'll never fully comprehend, so much about God and his way that we cannot fathom in this lifetime. But even so, there is so much about God he does not want to remain a secret. Hence, God's self-revelation in the scriptures, the Bible that he's given us. Sin and brokenness in our world clouds the eyesight of humanity, leaving us in the dark when it comes to knowing God. There are a lot of clouds in our culture, a lot of clouds in our world today. Skepticism is one of those clouds. The belief of disbelief. Agnosticism is another, the belief that you cannot really know if God exists or not. And atheism is a belief, and it is a belief that there is no God. They're all clouds of our culture that keep us from receiving the gift of revelation. See, God has been and is and will continue to be the great communicator, for he has been revealing himself to us in many and various ways. Unfortunately, many people today choose to listen to other voices instead of God's voice in their life. They choose to watch the clouds of the culture and allow them to dictate their life course. The sermon in our Bible, and we're calling the Hebrews, this letter to the Hebrews, is written or spoken to a group of Christians, probably Jewish converts, who would or would be tempted to listen to other voices too, to track the clouds in their life instead of the sun. Now, what would happen if a ship's navigator decided to use the clouds to determine the ship's location in the sea? Well, after a while, the ship would be rolling in circles and it'd never get to its destination. But many people do that today. They look at the clouds and see where they should be, whether the clouds are moving by. But for some in the ancient community of this early church found in Hebrews, maybe it was too much for them to hear about God's Son Jesus being divine, to say that Jesus was God. And maybe it was just as difficult to say, as it is for many in our community, to say that Jesus was truly human and had a human nature, that he had human emotions, that he got sad or angry, that he had emotional passions. Many Christians don't like to accept this biblical image of a very real and a very human Jesus. So the author of Hebrews, he tries to spell it out for us, to spell out the two natures of Christ, that Jesus is 100% human, yet 100% God at the same time. Well, that early community to whom Hebrews was addressed was prone to compromise, and I think they were tempted to tone down the divinity side of Jesus. A little later in chapter 1, right after our passage, it starts to talk about angels. And it makes me wonder that maybe there was a temptation to see Jesus as an angel. Well, some of the Jews tend to have thought back then that the law was even given through angels. So, yeah, God is revealing himself to us, but maybe he's revealing himself to us through an angel, Jesus. Maybe Jesus is even the highest angel, they thought. The other voices were powerful. The clouds were moving, and maybe there was social pressure and religious pressure and political pressure. Does God really reveal himself? Did he really reveal himself through his son, Jesus? The skeptics ask. The agnostics shrug their shoulders. The atheists say no way. Imagine living in this early Christian community. Imagine being a little confused about the nature of Christ. Human being? God? Third thing? Something in between? Unlike the early Christians, we've had a long time to think about these things. Was he just a good man, a good teacher, or an angel, or something in between? And the Jewish tradition had it very clear and very right when it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And the Council of Nicaea hadn't worked out the details of the Trinity quite yet. How could Jesus be God too? The preacher, the author of Hebrews, attempts to help these early Christians and us understand exactly what was revealed in the scriptures. He's helping us to see a majestic Messiah. But if we're honest with ourselves, in our day, we have many conflicting voices that compete with the revelation of God too. The revelation of God says that there is a personal creator of all things. No, God is not all things, pantheism. The true essence or nature of God is not in all things, panentheism. The artist's passion and love and heart and values can be seen in the picture or whatever the work of art of the artist, But the artist is not the work of art. There is a distinction there. And there's a difference between God the Creator and His world, the creation. God is separate and distinct from it. Involved in it, yes. Intimately shows His love, His heart, His passion in the creation, yes indeed. But still, God is distinct from, He's transcendent from the creation He has made. This is what the gift of Revelation teaches us. The revelation of God says that there is a right and wrong, and there are absolute values that exist and are established by a personal God for the benefit of humanity and all to the glory of God. Yet some voices say that no morality is absolute, that it's only culturally formed. What is right for you may be right for you, but not right for everybody. The gift of the revelation of God, the Bible, says that there is one God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Trinity and always has. Yet some voices would say today that religion is not so much a matter of truth, but of lifestyle choice, a matter of whatever feels good to you or works for you. And so the idea is that you get to create your own God, fashioned after your own desires, that supports your own individualistic, subjective sense of morality. Subjectivism is king today, one of those major clouds of our culture, a moving cloud of personal, individual sensibilities that some people attempt to base their life upon. Well, there's social pressure not to be too exclusive in our religious beliefs either. Openness, tolerance, pluralism of all things, except Christianity, they're spirits of this age, not all bad, but often used to reject the truth claims, deemed to be too exclusive by some people. The Bible says in our reading, but in these last days, He, God the Father, has spoken to us. He's communicated, He's revealed Himself to us by His Son. But Christians are told not to stand out, and definitely never attempt to share your faith with someone with the intent to persuade them to believe in the one true ultimate revelation of God, Jesus Christ. We're told to tone down the Jesus stuff. Keep it personal and not public. We're told to stop communicating, to stop revealing Christ, even during a national celebration of the incarnation of Christ, Christmas. But what many don't realize is that when Christ has gotten hold of your heart and Christ has become an important part in your life, you just cannot help but to tell people about such good news. God has communicated to us in these last days through His Son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God has spoken to us through the historical reality of His Son, born of the Virgin in a small town called Bethlehem. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, as the Catechism says, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to Himself a truly human nature. He did so to become David's true descendant, like his brothers in every way but sin. The Holy Conception, the Incarnation, and the birth of Christ means that we have a mediator, we have a Savior, whose innocence and perfect holiness removes from God's sight sin, my sin and yours, the sins we carry from our own conception. That's something to celebrate this week. Well, and secondly this morning, the revelation of God is a free gift of grace to us all. God's gift of revelation is grace to us. The preacher in Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The word used here in the original language literally means imprint. In the making of a coin, the coin is the exact imprint or representation of the template. Jesus is the imprint of God the Father. In other words, if you want to see God the Father, says the preacher, look to the Son. They're the same. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. In fact, the preacher continues, he's talking to his Jewish converts here, right? And he says, you remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your forefathers, and all the land that they would inherit? Well, Jesus has been appointed heir of all that is. everything on earth and everything that's in it. Jesus is a greater revelation than the prophets, a greater revelation than the patriarchs, greater revelation than the law even. Jesus goes back before creation, for God created the world through him, it says. Not only that, he sustains all things through his powerful word, providence. This is in the Bible. This is in Hebrews. It's not something that was worked out by the church hundreds of years later. Creator, sustainer, and heir of all, Jesus is God's final and ultimate gift of revelation. For in Jesus, God revealed, he communicated himself for all the world to see. And as it says in 1 John 5, verse 11, it says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5, verse 11, this is the testimony. God's message to us is a message of grace. No one forced God to enter the world as a baby in Bethlehem. Humanity certainly didn't deserve it. God, out of his own good will and pleasure, revealed himself in his Son. Sin drives a deep wedge between us and God, and it's only the blood of Jesus that can remove that wedge. And the preacher here in Hebrews makes it clear that although the Son is divine and transparent, that he's the imprint of God the Father, he's transcendent. The Son is also human, and he walks among us. Although in the beginning was the Word, as it says in the Gospel of John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Word was with us and walked among us, flesh and blood, fully human. The sinless Son, the preacher said, made purification of sins on the cross. He suffered and died in the flesh before he sat down the right hand of God Most High. God has revealed us to us through his final word that he is a God who loves us to the point of becoming the atoning sacrifice for our sins himself. Therefore, he concludes, God's revelation in these last days through his Son is superior than anything that may have come before. Jesus is God's grace, God's free gift of revelation, the final word and that gift of revelation that we celebrate this Advent and Christmas season. And so finally, we also can give the gift of revelation. God's gift wasn't just for people way back in Bible times. God continues to make himself known to us today too and through us. If our spiritual eyes would be open, we could see all of creation declaring the glory of God. And God continues to reveal himself through love and grace and mercy shown through his people, you and me today, through acts of kindness, through free gifts, through helping at soup kitchens and homeless shelters, through welcoming the stranger or offering and welcoming non-judgmental hospitality to someone. In these ways and many more, God continues to reveal himself to a world in need. God reveals his love in Christ through you and me as we make his love and grace known, both in gospel proclamation through words, but also through faithful acts of love and service to others. You see, the imprint of Christ is on you and me today. And that means being a revelation of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness to all people. So we serve and we love and we give and we sacrifice, not because people deserve it, not because people are morally perfect, not because the servants feel they're never going to be taken advantage of, because sometimes that happens. We do these things because we have been crucified in Christ, and it's no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. God freely continues to give the gift of revelation to a world through those who have chosen life in his Son. God is communicating himself through your life and mine. So this Christmas we remember that when love wins out over hate, God is revealed. When forgiveness happens instead of retribution, God is revealed. When mercy triumphs over judgment, God says, here I am. When equity beats out over favoritism and the old boys network, when equality wins out over racism, when peace wins out over war and violence, then you are seeing the kingdom of God taking shape in your midst. You're seeing the gospel lived out. Now you see me, says the Lord. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Triune God, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through the incarnation of Christ. And thank you for continuing to reveal yourself to us and reminding us of your glory through your creation. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see your presence in the everyday and the ordinary. Help us to see you at work through the kindness, love, and mercy of others. In this Advent season, we give glory to you and you alone, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.